doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
It's my friend, Dr. Kevin Morse. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hot.
Yeah.
Let's talk that for a second, because I've played golf now for, I think, the last 7 days, and the lowest temperature we've had is basically the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
So for people that are going out this week, this is going to be hotter than last week. I know we go over this a lot, but I think it's important. What are the warnings you have for them?
Yeah, you know, these heat indexes are going to be well over 100, if I'm not mistaken, all this week. So probably the biggest thing is we already know that, so this isn't going to be a surprise for anybody. So really prepare. Make sure you have water with you. Make sure you have some kind of fluids with you if you're going to be out for a while. And then watch for all those signs of weakness, dizziness. You know, if you're sweating, that's great. You're cooling down. But if you get weak and dizzy during this time, try to find someplace cool. The concern is when you stop sweating and you get you can get very delirious as well, so people have to look out for that individual who isn't sweating, looks confused. Those are people that are getting towards heat stroke, and those are the ones we want to get in and get cooled quickly, and those are emergencies. The person who's a little lightheaded and still sweating, get them inside into a cool environment. And if you can't do that, get some water on them and get some air moving over them to cool them down as quickly as you can.
Any change in your long-standing advice to alternate water and Gatorade if you have access to both?
No, I still go with that. You know, water is great. It's a great way to replenish, but you have to remember that you're losing electrolytes at the exact same time. If you ever, you know, taste your sweat, it's very salty. So getting some of those electrolytes back, getting some glucose back. So alternating water with a sports drink, I think, is the way to go.
If you feel a little off, and by that I mean, you know, maybe it feels like you need a sugar hit or something. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, it can mean a couple of things. One, feeling a little off could be a little dehydrated. It could also mean you're hypoglycemic, that your sugar level has dropped. The body is really going to maintain the sugar level pretty well, because we have other places that we can get sugar from, including our liver. So we have access to sugar usually. So it's often going to be the heat related or the dehydration, which is going to make it more acutely change with this temperature.
And as far as people having fun outside and and doing all that, beverage of choice not to go to, I mean, beer, I've heard, am I crazy? I've heard different theories on this. For years, people said, don't drink beer when it's super hot. It makes the dehydration worse. What do we know?
Yeah, correct. Alcohol and caffeinated drinks are both diuretics, so you're going to lose more fluid. You think, oh, I'm taking in plenty. No, you're going to lose more. So if you want to stay net positive, it's going to be water and sports drinks and non-caffeinated drinks. And then I would stay away from alcohol. Couple reasons. I mean, a couple of beers in the sun, okay, but all of a sudden your judgment changes as well, and you can get into a bad situation just because the alcohol has made your mind a little different. And on top of that, now the dehydration and the heat is going to do the same.
Don't you think we should leave that gator in Humboldt Park alone and just see what happens, Doc? Don't you think we ought to go that route?
Hey, you know, I don't know what's going to happen on the news once that thing's caught. We're going to have to go back to talk about the economy or something.
Yeah, and actual other things.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about sleep. Lack of it. Nobody gets enough, it seems. And there's a million solutions out there. What's good? What's not good? Doc will fill you in. And what's the CBD craze that's out there? Because I'm drinking it by the gallon. That seems like a lot. At 6:48. John DeCoss is here. And Dave Ennett, of course. Vivian's in for Super Joe, who's sleeping off a wedding for the weekend. Michael Heidemann's here. He'll have crap he found on the internet coming up. And Jen DeSalvo is in your traffic situation for Mary Vandeveld, who's on vacation. And Steve Regan is taking care of the news. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Back to Dr. Kevin Morse. We've got a lot to hit here, so let me jump in, Doc.
Yeah.
In regards to sleep, when it's more daylight later, it's harder. What, the blackout shades thing, you a fan of that?
Yeah, huge fan of that, especially for people, you know, that have to get up early. You know, our body's going to tell us when to go to sleep, and it's based on a circadian rhythm, and it's based actually on sunlight. So, or I shouldn't even say sunlight, any kind of light hits the back of our eyes, our retina, sends a message to our brain and says, I don't need melatonin yet. I'm still awake. And blackout shades will at least make the room dark, as it is in the winter and the spring, to allow you to get to sleep when you should be falling asleep.
Does eating dinner at different times affect it?
Yeah, it does. You know, we people that eat, you know, normally at 6 and then have some downtime before they go to bed at, say, 10 or 11 o'clock.
Well, now they're staying up till 11 or 12, and they're outside till 9.
Exactly. So the shift because of the weather, shift because of the light and the activities that we have has pushed all that. You know, the unfortunate thing is our work time doesn't shift as well. So we still have to be at work at the same time. We're just missing out on that sleep. And because of it's light out, it's hot out, and the change in the activities that we do.
So sleep aids, there's a million of them. The business has gone through the roof. Some are better than others. Some are you know, kind of adaptations, if you will. What do you think of Benadryl?
No, not a good idea. Benadryl is okay for very short-time use. You know, Benadryl is an antihistamine that we use for allergies. Well, one of the side effects is it makes you groggy, and therefore people use it as a sleep aid. But a large study came out in JAMA a few years ago that showed continued use or use for more than 3 years on a regular basis had an increased risk of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So people that are using Benadryl should probably try to get off of that as much as they can and try to do some other methods to fall asleep.
So like ZQL shouldn't be taken every day then either, right?
Correct. ZQL shouldn't, straight Benadryl shouldn't, you know, any of those first generation antihistamines that have the side effect of making you groggy should not be used as a sleep aid.
So Dave, my idea for a NyQuil smoothie is right out the window.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that way, but I thought ZQL, Doc, is basically NyQuil without the cold medicine or the antihistamine. Is that, I mean, it's just a sleep aid.
No, the biggest active ingredient in ZyQuil is diphenhydramine. So it is an antihistamine that's in there.
Okay.
And it, you know, NyQuil has a whole bunch of other things, including alcohol at a large percent as well.
That's why Dave likes it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on melatonin?
Big fan of melatonin. You know, it's natural. Our body makes melatonin. It's a hormone that is made that tells the body time to slow down your breathing, try to cool down. This is when you're going to sleep. So melatonin, I think, is good. The issue, the difficult thing about that is what's the dose, because there really is no dosing. It varies from person to person. And then also continued use of it, you'll be telling the body it doesn't need to make melatonin. So it's great for people with jet lag. It's great for people on an intermittent basis. Long term, it's going to be a little iffy.
Contradictions and interactions with other drugs. I know melatonin's been associated to not be good if you're taking blood thinners, for instance.
Yeah, so you've got to be careful with any one of these medications. Any medication you're taking for sleep, definitely discuss it with your doctor. The antihistamines do, the sleeping pills do, the melatonin does. So you definitely want to have that discussion with your doctor as far as what's the best one for you.
John?
Hey, Doc Most, how are you?
Hey, John.
My wife and I are like hooked on sleepy time tea with, I think it's chamomile or something like that, and valerian or something. How is that?
Yep. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You know, you get these decaffeinated drinks that are soothing. You know, some of these teas have lavender in them. Just the smell as well as the taste of those are very soothing to you. So people that do that, that take a hot shower, have meditation before, all those natural things to slow down and kind of set your body back. Now, taking that tea while you're watching a baseball game till 11 o'clock is going to offset the benefit of it.
CBD oil.
CBD oil is huge right now, obviously. You know, we know that it decreases anxiety in people, decreases pain in people. The combination of that makes it easier for people to go to sleep. There's a lot of people using CBD oil prior to sleep right now, and it appears to be working. A lot of big studies coming out very, very soon as far as the full effect in a well-controlled study.
And the CBD oil doesn't have any specific regulations in how it's made, so don't just buy it at a gas station or buy it for the first place you see it. Do a little research. You're still rolling the dice a little bit, but if it's something you're going to try, what about interactions with meds there?
No, it doesn't appear to, so that's good. And it's very low in THC, so people say, oh, I'm going to take CBD, I'm going to get high. No, this is made from hemp, and it's not the same type that would get you high. But again, talk with your doctor. And like I said, the science isn't out there yet, but anecdotally, there's a lot of people that are saying it works.
Are we getting away from prescription sleeping pills because of the publicity that's been associated with bad reactions to Ambien and things?
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to 5% of the population still use those, which is absolutely amazing to me. You know, and the FDA has kind of said, well, we got to take a step back. In 2013, we cut the doses. We said your doses are too high because of morning grogginess. And then just this year in May, they put the black box warning in saying, hey, be really careful with these medications. You have a much higher risk for injury in the morning and sleepwalking during the middle of the night, sleep driving. So the FDA, this is the biggest warning they can do short of banning a drug. So it's one that I would definitely have a discussion with your doctor about. And the other thing is huge. Don't share these medications. You know, it's like, oh, I can't fall asleep. Oh, my wife has a sleeping pill. I'm going to go ahead and try that. They interact with other medications, and they can be very dangerous if you don't know how to use them.
Turn the TV off when you go to bed. Don't have your phone where you can reach it. Don't use the computer in bed. Allow your body to wind down. These are all things that we're told to do. We all know we should do them. Not very many of us are good at it necessarily. But if you're committed to getting better sleep, you need to do that. And what's the amount of sleep you recommend?
I still recommend 7 hours, to be honest with you. Now, people might laugh and say that's impossible. Ideally, 8 hours, but 7 hours is, I think, is what, you know, your body is going to need to regenerate. And all those little things of cooling down your room, no TV, those are things that you can do instead of, we always go to what's the easiest. I can take a pill. I'm going to stay up and watch a game, but I'm going to take a pill so I can fall asleep. These are things that you can do so that you don't need the Benadryl, you don't need the melatonin, you don't need the CBD oil.
One other thing from a listener related back to where we started, and that is take care of your pets this week. Remember, they already have a coat on if you're out walking them and stuff.
Absolutely. Make sure you have water for them as well, and really just be aware. Walk them early, walk them late, and let them sleep during the day.
We ran out of time for acute flaccid myelitis, but we will bring that back. And, of course, that also was a band I was in. It's Dr. Kevin Most. Had a chance to see a couple of your relatives the other day.
Yeah, I heard Brad and Will stop by to harass you guys, which was nice of them.
Brad and I were talking about further developing the brand that is Moron Entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah, he hadn't met Dean, so I'm glad he had the opportunity to say hi to Dean as well.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to talk to me, and he goes, where's Dean? Brad, I'm right here. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Take care.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, is where you will find Steve next.